Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda.
This is Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, chapter 16, text 74. Shaganesha Chele Gia Koilo Gangasnan Bhaktir Mahima Taha Koila Vyakyan. Without even removing his garments, Lord Chaitanya took a bath in the Ganges with his companions. There he explained the glories of devotional service. Om Agyanati Nirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Vidave Nama Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mahyam Dadhati Shapatantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavascha Shri Rupam Shagrajatam Sahagana Raganatan Vitam Stam Sajiva Shadvaitam Shavadhutam Pravijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Pradhan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitamstra He Krishna Gurana Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kamshana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishwabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priya Vancha Gopatarubhyascha Kripa Sindho Bhyevacha Padita Nam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namah Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vashadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. What happened was that some student of Lord Chaitanya's explained the glories of the holy name as stutivad, as consisting of statements by the scripture, glorifying the holy name, to induce people to chant, like exaggerated advertising. So in response to that, Lord Chaitanya took his bath in the Ganges with all of his clothes, I think. Yeah, with all of his clothes and with all of his companions, and also told everyone that they shouldn't even see this person's face anymore. Lord Chaitanya was very unhappy, and so he began to explain the glories of devotional service. Jnana Karma Yoga Dharme Nahi Krishna Vash Krishna Vasha Hetu Eka Prema Bhakti Rash. By following the paths of speculative philosophical knowledge, fruitive activity, or mystic yoga to control the senses, one cannot satisfy Krishna, the Supreme Lord. Unalloyed devotional love for Krishna is the only cause for the Lord's satisfaction. Now this verse. Na
sadhayati
mam
yogo
nasankhyam
dharma
uddhava
na
svadhyayas
tapas
tyago
yata
bhaktir
mamorjata
Nasadhayati mam yogo
Nasadhayati mam yogo
Nasankhyam dharma
uddhava
na svadhyayastapastyago, yata bhaktir mamurjita, na sadhayati mam yogo, na sankhyam dharma uddhava, svadhyayastapastyago, yata bhaktir mamurjita,
sadhayati mam yogo,
sadhayati mam yogo,
sankhyam dharma uddhava,
sankhyam dharma uddhava,
svadhyayastapastyago,
yata bhaktir
mamurjita,
sadhayati mam yogo,
sankhyam dharma uddhava, svadhyayastapastyago, yata bhaktir mamurjita, sadhayati mam yogo,
sadhayati
causes to remain satisfied.
Mam,
me.
Yogaha,
the process of control.
Na,
nor.
Sankhyam,
the process of gaining philosophical knowledge
about the absolute truth.
Dharmaha,
such an occupation.
Uddhava,
my dear Uddhava.
Na,
nor.
Svadhyayaha,
study of the Vedas.
Tapaha,
austerities.
Tyagaha,
renunciation.
Acceptance of sannyas,
or charity.
Yata,
as much as.
Bhaktihi,
devotional service.
Mama,
unto me.
Urjita,
developed.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, said, my dear Uddhava, neither through Ashtanga Yoga, the mystic yoga system to control the senses, nor through impersonal monism, or an analytical study of the absolute truth, nor through study of the Vedas, nor through austerities, charity, or acceptance of sannyas, can one satisfy me as much as by developing unalloyed devotional service unto me. Purport. Karmis, gyanis, yogis, tapasvis, and students of Vedic literature who do not have Krishna consciousness simply beat around the bush and do not get any final profit because they have no clear knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Nor do they have faith in approaching him by discharging devotional service, although everywhere such service is repeatedly emphasized, as it is in this verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. The Bhagavad Gita also declares, Bhaktya mam abhijanati yavan yaschasmi tatvatah. One can understand the Supreme Personality as he is only by devotional service. If one wants to understand the Supreme Personality factually, he must take to the path of devotional service and not waste time in profitless philosophical speculation. Fruitive activity, mystic yoga practice, or severe austerity and penance. Elsewhere in the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord confirms, Klesho dhikataraste sham avyakta sakta chetasam. For those whose minds are attached to the unmanifested, impersonal feature of the Supreme, advancement is very troublesome. People who are attached to the impersonal feature of the Lord are obliged to take great trouble, yet nevertheless they cannot understand the absolute truth. As explained in Srimad Bhagavatam, Brahmeti Paramatmeti Bhagavaniti Shadjate. Unless one understands the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the original source of Brahma and Paramatma, one is still in darkness about the Absolute Truth. This is an important verse from the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. The Lord is instructing that other methods don't make the grade. They may give some limited benefit, Ashtanga yoga, philosophical speculation, charity, penance, austerity, sannyas, all of these methods for purification may do something for us, but they're not actually pleasing to the Supreme Personality of Godhead to the same extent as pure devotional service. They can't match pure devotional service. Pure devotional service is a manifestation of the internal pleasure potency of the Lord, and therefore it's constitutionally pleasing to the Lord. The Lord is pleased by his pleasure potency. That's what's actually satisfying to Krishna. Other works may be performed to please the Lord. One may follow varnashram, one may do tapasya or give charity. But the Lord may be pleased to some extent, this is nice, he's doing something. But it just doesn't have the same potency as pure devotional service. And therefore the Lord doesn't reveal himself as he does to the pure devotee. Premanjanachcharita bhakti vilochanena santasadaiva hridyeshu vilokayanti. For the pure devotee, Krishna always reveals himself. But for the karmi, the jnani, the yogi, there's some mercy in the form of the results of their performance. There's some pious credit. There's some advancement, but it's not the same as what one gets from pure devotional service. By the jnana process, by tapasya, one may realize the paramatma feature of the Lord, by mental speculation, the impersonal feature of the Lord. But the feature of the Lord as the Supreme Personality of Godhead can only actually be understood by devotional service. Actually, Krishna says, one can understand me this way. In the fourth chapter, Janmakamnata me divyam evam yoveti tatvatam chatvadeham punarjanma. Naiti ma me disurjanam. If someone understands me factually, then he gets free from birth and death. And how does one understand Krishna factually? Bhaktiya, by devotional service. Otherwise, the other methods are, all right, something is there, but not the same. Any questions about this? Yeah, sure, one can do such a thing. There's descriptions of all sorts of stuff. There's descriptions of Hiranyakashipu standing on his hands in the arms in the air for thousands of years. One can do such a thing. Doesn't mean it's recommended. Because there was some devotion. There was devotion. May have been a little neophyte because he had some motive to fulfill, but there was devotion there by the grace of God. Wasn't just austerity. It wasn't just austerity. Austerity is there also. The Goswamis were austere. No one can match Raghunath Das Gajani, how he was austere. But he didn't, it wasn't that his perfection was his austerity. His perfection was his devotion. Jiva Goswami was a greatest scholar, but it's not that he realized Krishna by scholarship. It was by devotion that he was able to do what he was able to do, not just by scholarship. Otherwise, there's so many scholars. Austerity may be there, scholarship may be there, charity may be there, other things may be there, but without devotional service, they're not very valuable. And the real thing is devotional service itself. Then we say, oh yes, he was so austere, he was so whatever. Just like if someone's a good speaker, that's appreciated if a devotee speaks nicely. But if he's not a devotee, he can speak like Demosthenes and he's useless. Just to be a great speaker, you know, ask not what your country can do for you, blah, blah, who cares? We're not going to ask what our country can do for us, and we're not going to ask what we can do for our country. We don't give a damn. We're not interested in political rhetoric. We're interested in Krishna. And even if you're not a great speaker, if you speak about Krishna, it will be appreciated. Even if you're not a perfect writer, there's so many great, great writers of this material world, but what's the use of them? We'd rather have glorification of Krishna, even if imperfectly composed. But if it's perfectly composed and it glorifies Krishna, then it's appreciated, oh, so poetic. If someone's austere and devoted to Krishna, then it's appreciated, oh, we have austerity. If someone's a great scholar and is devoted to Krishna, then the scholarship may be appreciated. But the real qualification is devotional service. If someone's smart in business and uses it for Krishna, they say, oh, he's so good in business. It's really wonderful. But if he's just a smart businessman, there's so many smart businessmen. They're all rogues. But when you use these, whatever thing, for the service of Krishna, then it's appreciated. tapasa shutasya vasa. Any other question here so far? Yes.
Mystic yoga.
Yeah, mystic yoga means that you get these superpowers. There are ashta siddhi, anima lagima prapti, ishita bhashita, like that. To become lighter than the lightest, heavier than the heaviest, smaller than the smallest, greater than the greatest. To be able to control the laws of nature, to be able to control other people's minds, to be able to pull whatever you want from any part of the universe. Powerful mystic power, just like Kardamuni was able to create an airplane just by thinking, I'd like to have an airplane. Boom, there it was. And not your tin can 747 or your whatever it is, the Dreamliner that's coming next. It was really quite a plane. So just by his mystic powers, he was able to do that. And similarly, other things one can do by mystic power. So that's mystic yoga system. And ultimately, one can transform for oneself to the spiritual sky by this process of yoga. If you know exactly how to leave the body at the right time with the mind concentrated in the right way. Anything else? Shall we push on? Muradi ke kohe tumi Krishna vasha koila. Shuniya muradi shloka kohite lagila. So Lord Chaitanya was talking about satisfying Krishna, and then he said, he praised Muradi Gupta, saying, "You have satisfied Lord Krishna." Hearing this, Muradi Gupta quoted a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. Kvaham daridra papiyan kva krishna shri niketanaha brahma bandhur iti smaham bahubhyam parivampitaha. Since I am but a poor sinful brahma bandhu, not brahminically qualified, although born in a Brahmin family, and you, Lord Krishna, are the shelter of the goddess of fortune, it is simply wonderful, my dear Lord Krishna, that you have embraced me with your arms. This is a verse spoken, a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, spoken by Sudama Vipra in the presence of Lord Sri Krishna. This and the previous verse quoted from Srimad Bhagavatam clearly indicate that although Krishna is so great that it is not possible for anyone to satisfy him, he exhibits his greatness by being personally satisfied, even with one who is unqualified from so many angles of vision. Sudama Vipra was born in a family of Brahmins, and he was a learned scholar and a class friend of Krishna's, yet he considered himself unfit to be strictly called a Brahmana. He called himself a Brahmabandhu, meaning one born in a Brahmin family, but not Brahminically qualified. Because of his great respect for Brahmanas, however, Krishna embraced Sudama Vipra, although he was not a regular Brahmin, but a Brahmabandhu, or friend of a Brahmin family. Muradi Gupta could not be called even a Brahmabandhu, because he was born of a Vaidya family, and according to the social structure, was therefore considered a Shudra. But Krishna bestowed special mercy upon Muradi Gupta because he was a beloved devotee of the Lord, as stated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The purport of Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's elaborate discussion of this subject is that no qualification in this material world can satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Yet everything becomes so successful simply through development of devotional service to the Lord. members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness cannot even call themselves Brahmabandhus. Therefore, our only means for satisfying Krishna is to pursue the injunctions of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who says, Jaydekha Tarikaho Krishna Upadesh Amaragyai Guruha Tar Edesh. Whomever you meet, instruct him on the teachings of Krishna. In this way, on my order, become a spiritual master and deliver the people of this country. Simply trying to follow the orders of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we speak to the people of the world about Bhagavad Gita as it is. This will make us qualified to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. The verse is very nice. Kvaham daridra papiyan. Who am I? I'm just a poor, sinful Brahmin. And who is Krishna? Sri Niketana. He's the husband of the goddess of fortune. Brahmabandhur iti smaham. I'm just a Brahmabandhu, but bahubhyam parirampita. Krishna has embraced me with his arms. Oh, why? Again, by devotional service. Krishna wasn't attracted by any material qualification because materially Sudama didn't really have great qualifications. But he was had such affection and love for Krishna that Krishna felt attracted to him. Hare Krishna. That's a qualification of pure devotional service, then it attracts even Krishna. So Krishna was pleased. He accepted the meager offering that Sudama Brahman had brought, just some old chipped rice. But because it was brought with love, Krishna accepted it. Bhaktya mam abhijanati. Krishna accepts the loving devotion of his devotees. Any question here? Very nice verse. Kvaham daridra papiyan kvakrishna sri niketana. Ek din prabhu shab bhakta ganla shankirtana kori vaishe shramayuktaha. One day the Lord performed sankirtan with all his devotees, and when they were greatly fatigued, they sat down. Ek amra bij prabhu angane rupila tak shane janmila briksha parite lagila. The Lord then sowed a mango seed in the yard, and immediately the seed fructified into a tree and began to grow. Dekite dekite briksha hoilo phalita pakila aneka phal shabai shabe vismito. In this way, fruits grew on the tree every day throughout the 12 months of the year. And the Vaishnavas used to eat them to the Lord's great satisfaction. E shab lila kore shachir nandan anya loka nahi jane bina bhaktagan. These are confidential pastimes of the son of Shachi. Other than devotees, no one knows of this incident. Purport, non-devotees cannot believe this incident, yet the place where the tree grew still exists in Mayapur. It is called Amrakhata or Amakhata. This is mystic power. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has all mystic powers in full. He simply planted the tree. The devotees, he asked them if they were tired from Sankirtan, what would you like? Oh, we'd like mangoes. Not mango season. Not a problem. Planted the seed, and once the tree grew up, full with mangoes, as described elsewhere. They were so wonderful. They had, practically speaking, no pit and no seed, all juice. All juice. And 12 months a year. That doesn't happen normally. You just get mango season just before the, in the summer, just before till the rainy season, you get mangoes. But 12 months a year. And the devotees used to eat them, and the Lord was very satisfied to see the devotees taking these, this mango prasadam. And of course, the non-devotees, Kaviraj Goswami, could not understand. They'll say, oh, this is just some talk. But the devotees accept it. He mata bara masa kirtan avashane amra mahotsav prabhu kore dine dine. In this way, the Lord performs sankirtan every day, and at the end of sankirtan, there is a mango eating festival every day for 12 months. Purport. On principle, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would distribute prasadam at the end of kirtan performances. Similarly, the members of the Krishna consciousness movement must distribute some prasadam to the audience after performing kirtan. I saw on many occasions that Prabhupada strictly followed this principle. I attended quite a number of engagements, and Prabhupada would insist that there should be prasadam. I remember sitting at one program, Arlington Street Church in Boston. It's quite a respected institution, existing since the time of the American Revolution, more or less. And Prabhupada did a big program there, and many ladies and gentlemen of culture attended. But the devotees didn't arrange for prasadam. So I remember Prabhupada having them get some apples, and Jadarani sitting there, you know, other devotees sitting there cutting apples while Prabhupada's, you know, while the thing of the program is going on. Prabhupada insisted there has to be some prasadam. It may be big, small, whatever. There must be prasadam. That was a rigid principle for Srila Prabhupada. Mantrahinam ashishtanam, no. Vidihinam ashishtanam mantrahinam adakshinam. This is the definition of yajna in the mode of ignorance. Where is that? Good question, where it is. I may not find it right away. Mm. 1713, thank you. Vidihinam ashishtanam mantrahinam adakshinam shraddha virahitam yajnam tamasam parichakshate. When there's a sacrifice performed, but if there's no faith, it's just done without real faith in the process, and without proper mantras chanted, and adakshinam, without offering something to the priest who performs the yajna, and without following the rules and regulations, and ashishtanam, without distribution of prasadam, tamasam parichakshate, then that sacrifice is said to be performed in the mode of ignorance. Vidihinam, you don't follow any rules and regulations, you're just doing it some way or other. It means you don't know what you're doing. That's ignorance. And mantrahinam, no mantras, you're just doing something, waving something around and doing some rituals. And adakshinam, you're not giving anything to the priest. You rascal. And ashishtanam, no prasadam distribution. What kind of yogi is this? at least in the mode of passion, they do all of these things and take pride in doing it. Abhisandaya tu palam dampartam apichayavayat idyate parita shreshtam tam yagya vidhirajasam. In the mode of passion, they do everything because they're very interested in getting the result. Very result-oriented yagya. You know, we want to get something. So then we observe the rules and regulations, we make sure we give a good compensation to the Brahmins, we distribute prasadam very luxuriously, we do everything, and we're very proud of it too. Dambartam. No, actually, not only are we very proud of it, but that's probably why we did the yagya to begin with. Did you hear Mr. Chakrabarti did such and such yagya? He spent so many lakhs. Oh. In this way, we increase our pride and false prestige. But at least we follow the rules and regulations. At least we distribute prasad. We do all of these things, even if we're still polluted by the mode of passion. And apala kangshibir yagyo vidhi dishto yajite yashtavyam eveti manaha samadhaya sasatvika. In satvagun, in goodness, one does it because it's my duty. I may get praise, I may not get praise, that's not the point. I may be rewarded, I may not be rewarded, that's not the point. Yashtavyam, the point is, this is what's supposed to be done. This is duty. That's yagya. Just like our Sankirtan yagya, it's not that we're doing this to become famous as great kirtan performers or to get a lot of money or get a picture in the Times of London or something like that. We're doing it because it's our duty. Our spiritual master has asked us to please chant Hare Krishna, please distribute these books. So we're doing it as a matter of duty. And we're following the rules and regulations. So we're chanting the, not any mantra, but Hare Krishna mantra. And we distribute prasadam, because that's part of our program. That whenever there's a spiritual program, we go somewhere and hold kirtan and speak about Krishna, then there should be prasadam. These things should always be there. Prasadam should always be there. And books should always be there. Prabhupada was very particular that when you go and speak, then my books should always be displayed. You know, you go, just go there and talk and you don't show the books. That's not wanted. The books are, you know, why are we speaking? We're speaking because we're trying to distribute this knowledge, and the knowledge is there in the books. And as stated by Vaisheshika Prabhu, the more you show, the more you sell. If you don't show it, then nobody's going to buy it. But if you show it, then somebody may say, well, what's that? And especially, or you tell them, here it is. You should all get one. This is the book. So the books are so much important. And Prabhupada would insist that when he spoke, or that when his students spoke, the books should be there. So mantra, the mantra should be there. When we go and speak, we chant Hare Krishna, purify the whole atmosphere. Even if people don't understand the philosophy, if they hear the chanting, they'll benefit. The mantra's there. And there should be some compensation also. Prabhupada also said that when he was invited to speak at this or that engagement, especially in the early days, to address some university class or whatever, there should be some honorarium. Not because we need the money, although we might have some need of money, but for the benefit of the people who are sponsoring the program, they should give some money. And that means, money means you respect the person, at least to some extent. Or putting it the other way, you don't give anything, then how much respect do you have for the person? He's just, you know, some guy that you can get to come for free and talk to you. But if you're giving an honorarium, means there's honor. You're giving respect to the person. that it was worth something for us, for you to come. So please accept this honorarium. So Prabhupada would want to see that also, that there's some honorarium, there's some distribution of this. The books are there, and the mantra is chanted. In this way, the yajna is properly performed. And without consideration of return, not that we go to speak to earn money or to become famous. It's our duty. Wherever we're invited to go, we speak about Krishna. So, in this yajna, Sankirtan, the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very pleased to see that all the devotees were taking these mangoes. Mango eating is really fun. You don't really get mangoes here on the same standard. You get, they're orange yellow, they have the same shape, they're the same name. But it's just not the same as being in a mango grove and getting fresh ripe mangoes from the tree during mango season. Even those who go to Mayapur at Gaur Purnima time and buy some mangoes, it's not, the season has not yet really come. So the mangoes that you get are not really mangoes in the true sense of the term. But when mango season is there and you get all these wonderful mangoes, then it's a festival. Everybody's enjoying like anything. Mangoes are there. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made this arrangement for his devotees 12 months a year, every day, chant Hare Krishna and eat mangoes. Great fun and festival. Kirtana korite prabhu aila megagon apana ichchai koilo megha nirbharan. Once while Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was performing kirtan, clouds assembled in the sky, and the Lord, by his own will, immediately stopped them from pouring rain. Get out of here, we're chanting Hare Krishna. In this connection, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that once, when Lord Chaitanya was performing Sankirtan, a short way from the village, some clouds appeared overhead. By the supreme will of the Lord, the clouds were asked to disperse, and they did. Because of this incident, that place is still known as Megherchor. Since the course of the Ganges has now changed, the village of the name Belpukuria, which was formerly situated at in a different place, is called Taranivash. In a different place called Taranivash, has now become known as Megherchor. The Madhya Kanda of Srila Lochandas Thakur's Chaitanya Mangal also relates that once at the end of the day, when evening clouds assembled overhead and thundered threateningly, all the Vaishnavas were very much afraid. But the Lord took his kartals in his hands and personally began chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, looking up toward the sky, don't you rain, as if to direct the demigods in the higher planets. Thus all the assembled clouds dispersed, and as the sky became clear, with the moon rising, the Lord began dancing very happily with his jubilant and satisfied devotees. Ekadin Prabhu Srivashere Agyadilo Brihat Sahasranam Para Shunite Man Hoilo. One day the Lord ordered Srivas Thakur to read the Brihat Sahasranam, thousand names of Lord Vishnu, for he wanted to hear them at that time. This Vishnu Sahasranam is very famous in South India, especially. Practically in every village you'll hear this Vishnu Sahasranam chanted. These days they don't have Brahmins chanting them so much, but there's a recording of M.S. Shubha Lakshmi that you'll hear in every village chanting Vishnu Sahasranam. Odite ailas tave nishinkher nam shunya avishta hoilo prabhu goratam. As Srivastava read the thousand names of the Lord, in due course the holy name of Lord Nrisimha appeared. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard the holy name of Lord Nrisimha, he became fully absorbed in thought. Purport. In the Chaitanya Mangal Madhyakanda, there's a description of this incident as follows. Srivas Pandit was performing the Shraddha ceremony for his father, and as is customary, he was hearing the thousand names of Lord Vishnu. At that time, Gaurhari, Lord Chaitanya, appeared on the scene, and he also began to hear the thousand names of Vishnu with full satisfaction. When he thus heard the holy name of Lord Nrisimha, Lord Chaitanya became absorbed in thought. He became angry like Nrisimha Prabhu in his angry mood. His eyes became red, his bodily hair stood on end, all the parts of his body trembled, and he made a thundering sound. All of a sudden he took up a club, and people became greatly afraid, thinking, "We do not know what kind of offense we have now committed." But then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu adjusted his thoughts and sat down on his seat. Nrisimha aveshe prabhu hate gara gada la pashandi marite yai nagare nagare dhaya. In the mood of Lord Nrisimhadev, Lord Chaitanya ran through the city streets, club in hand, ready to kill the atheists. Nrisimha avesha deki mahatejomoy pata chari bhage loka pa parabhai. Seeing him appearing very fierce in the ecstasy of Lord Nrisimhadev, people ran from the street and fled here and there, afraid of his anger. Loka bhoy deki prabhur bhaya haila Srivas grihete gya gara velaila. Seeing the people so afraid, the Lord came to his external senses and thus returned to the house of Srivas Thakur and threw away the club. Srivashe kohen prabhu koriya vishad loka bhoy pai mor hoy aparad. The Lord became morose and said to Srivas Thakur, "When I adopted the mood of Lord Nrisimhadev, people were greatly afraid. Therefore I stopped, since causing fear among people is an offense." Srivas bolen, "Je tomar nam loy, tar koti aparad shab hoy kshay." Srivas Thakur replied, "Anyone who takes your holy name vanquishes 10 millions of his offenses immediately." Aparad nahi koila koile loker nishtar je toma dekile tar chutila shamshar. There was no offense in your appearing as Nrisimhadev. Rather, any man who saw you in that mood was immediately liberated from the bondage of material existence. Eta boli Srivas korila shevan tushtaha prabhu aila apana pavan. After saying this, Srivas Thakur worshipped the Lord, who was then greatly satisfied and returned to his own home. So this was another incident of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was hearing the holy names, and when he heard Lord Nrisimhadev's name, he became absorbed in the mood of Lord Nrisimhadev and took up that bhav, that mood, grabbed a club and was in the mood of killing all the demons, so everybody fled. We don't know what he's going to do. Then Lord Chaitanya felt, I just terrified everyone. But Srivas Thakur made this reply. Ardin Shiva Bhakta Shiva Guna Gai Prabhur Angane Nache Damara Bhajai. Another day, a great devotee of Lord Shiva, chanting of Lord Shiva's qualities, came to Lord Chaitanya's house. where he began dancing in the courtyard and playing his damaru, a musical instrument. Mahesha Vesh Hoila Shachir Nandan Tarskande Chari Mritya Koila Bahukshan. Then Lord Chaitanya, adopting the mood of Lord Shiva, got on the man's shoulders, and thus they danced together for a long time. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu adopted the mood of Lord Shiva, for he is Shiva also, according to the philosophy of Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. Lord Shiva is not different from Lord Vishnu. But still, Lord Shiva is not Lord Vishnu, just as yogurt is nothing but milk, and yet is not milk nevertheless. One can get the benefit of milk by drinking yogurt. One cannot get the benefit of milk by drinking yogurt. Similarly, one cannot get salvation by worshipping Lord Shiva. If one wants salvation, one must worship Lord Vishnu. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. Matsthani sarvabhutani ajaham teshvavastava. Everything is resting on the Lord. Everything is His energy. He is not everywhere. Lord Chaitanya is adopting the mood of Lord Shiva is not extraordinary. But one should not therefore think that by worshipping Lord Shiva, one is worshipping Lord Chaitanya. That would be a mistake. Another move Lord Chaitanya picked up. Ardin eka bhikshuk aila magite prabhu nritya deki nritya lagina kolite. He danced for the Lord. One day, a mendicant came to beg alms from the Lord's house, but when he saw the Lord dancing, he also began to dance. Prabhu Shange Ritra Kore Parama Ullas Prabhu Tare Prema Dilo Prema Rashe Pahashe. I say, Prabhu Shange Ritra Kore Parame Ullashe Prabhu Tare Prema Dilo Prema Rashe Pahashe. He danced with the Lord because he was favored by love of Krishna. Thus he flowed in the mellows of love of Godhead. The beggar came, and he got more than he had in life. He was blessed by the Lord. All right. Any other comments, questions? Anything? Should we stop here? Or how much more time do we have? Should we stop here, or how much more time do we have if we want? You have a question? Okay, Bolia.
This is not just directly related, but sort of related to the beginning of the class. Well, there's so many different processes of realizing something. These days, well, I mean,
balance. Sometimes Prabhupada had something else, like Bhaktivedanta Institute, where really it was meeting people, scientists on their own terms, speaking their language, and yeah. I'm trying to think if there was anything else like that I recall. Yeah, political party with Prabhupada. Of course, their Prabhupada's, yeah, political party gives a platform for speaking. So through political interest, we can say something about Krishna. He had an idea for a daily newspaper, which would just give mundane news, but would have Krishna conscious editorials. So there were some instances. But generally, or almost always, as you say, he emphasize this straightforward books, chanting, prasadam, put straightforward philosophy. That was Prabhupada's method. Because to do something sophisticated requires skill and spiritual advancement. Otherwise, what we find is that someone is interested in bridge preaching because he's on the other side of the bridge. You know, his own interest in Krishna consciousness may not be so strong. So this way provides a justification for pursuing his outside interests. He can now immerse himself in books on Ayurveda or Hatha Yoga or you name it. And now it's his service. He can justify the whole thing. So out of material attachment, one may get involved that way, or out of lack of faith, that one doesn't have faith that people will, the holy name will work, but this other thing might work, that other thing might work. So that may be there. On the other hand, one may be expert. We saw Bhakti Tirthamaraj, who comes to mind as an example. He would do the most outrageous things. He just did not respect the conventions. Conventionality was there to be overstepped. He would do almost anything. You know, if it had a chance of working, he would try it. I mean, not unreasonable, wild, crazy, or sinful things, but long shot schemes that were carefully conceived, you know, he would give it a go and see if it would work. And for him, they sometimes would. He would do things that were very different, you know. And even his godbrothers would look, you know, like, what is this guy doing? But what he was doing was making devotees and spreading Krishna consciousness. I remember visiting him in Washington, D.C., and he had a flat there, which was like a little institute, they called it, Institute for something, spiritual technology, applied spiritual technology, which is basically, you know, a flat. And it was in Washington, D.C., in the very solidly black area. Washington, D.C., actually, it has two things, basically. It has the United States government and a lot of black people in different parts of the city. So he parked there, and you go into this flat, and everything's like Egyptian and Nigerian, and the whole atmosphere is, you know, it's all about African culture. These two big, Egyptian cats, you know, statues of Egyptian cats, black Egyptian cats, and everything's, you know, like black culture, black this, black the other thing. And, somehow or other tying Krishna consciousness into, you know, it has a connection with this cultural, this mystic, ancient, black culture. And yeah, that's weird. I mean, that's, you know, certifiably weird. But the result was that he attracted so many extremely well-qualified people, doctors, and he was aiming, actually, not at just, you know, garbage collectors. He was aiming at educated, intelligent black people, doctors and lawyers and engineers and so on. And he got them. You know, he would get them on this hook of, you know, whatever it was, the Egyptian cats and the whole thing. But then he would reel them in. They would be chanting Hare Krishna. They would be following the regular principles. They would be reading Prabhupada's books. And they would become wonderful devotees of Krishna. So in the hands of a capable person who is not attached to material things or material interests, but who's simply focused on thinking of ways to bring people to Krishna, these things may work. But Prabhupada said the art is to catch the fish and not get wet. Anything else?
Yes. Say something more about the other moods of Lord Chaitanya. You explained that he adopted the mood of became absorbed in the mood of Lord Srinadev, and then another time the Lord Shiva.
Lord Shiva.
Is there anything, any other moods he became absorbed in?
Of course, he was absorbed mainly in the mood of Srimati Radharani. Was most in Puri. That was his main pastime. He was absorbed in the mood of Srimati Radharani feeling separation from Krishna. Yes.
There's one book called Panchatantra.
Panchatantra, okay. Yeah.
So if we are practicing our Krishna consciousness over a period of time and things seem sure, like you know, things seem basic, like Bhagavad-gita, child distribution, Harinam, book distribution, and dancing and chanting people in temple life, and then we have some experiences that we don't understand in Krishna consciousness with regards to possibly Krishna's
energy. Yeah, we should always be careful and discriminating and not just sentimental or whimsical. That should be there. But again, it's a question of our we should, as a principle, what you said, we should stick with the sure and not mess around with the unsure. But that's not a club for beating over the head people who are doing something innovative for spreading Krishna consciousness. That's the only thing. Otherwise, yes, you know, we've all seen so many, you know, innovations, and the result of the innovation is that the person winds up in the material world, which is not very innovative at all. So we need to, you know, we should be careful about that. But we need to be careful also about criticizing devotees who may be sincerely trying to spread Krishna consciousness and have some good idea. You know, killing good ideas is not a good idea. And it's easy, you know, anybody's got a new idea and you look and say, well, that's stupid. But Prabhupada sometimes gave a little slack. And then he would see that how it was working, like the political thing. It spun out of control. It needed lots of money, and there were all these legal restrictions. And Prabhupada just said, it actually just boom on a dime stopped it. You know, just stopped it. Started it with full enthusiasm, encouraged people to get into it. At a certain point, just said, "Forget it. We shall have no involvement in this. It's useless." Just stopped the whole thing because he saw that it was too entangling, didn't work. So that's, you know, the nature of vicharas. They sometimes try something, and if it works, they push it, and if it doesn't work, they kill it. So, but you know, I was with the Pandavasena yesterday, and that was part of their theme. You know, that they're young and innovative. You know, they shouldn't be afraid to try different ways to spread Krishna consciousness. There's so many things offered by technology, and you know, and it's, they come up with ideas that may at first glance look like, you know, what are these guys doing? That's not what we do. That's not what we decided to do at our meeting of June 14th. And then they come up with something, you know, a little wild. But if it works, and it's within our, you know, our orbit, it works means people become Krishna conscious, people take up the process, then it's good. Otherwise, if it just becomes self-indulgent, then it's not good. But we should be a little careful not to kill something where there's some new thinking, new ideas for spreading the old thing. Prabhupada's theme was old wine in a new bottle. So the bottle may change, but the wine shouldn't change. If you're changing the wine, you just blew it. If you're not giving the substance, if you're changing the substance, then you failed. But if you just change the packaging and people bought the product, the old wine, then it's very good. Okay. Yes? Okay. Mystic power is that this child you kept quiet for the whole class. Is inconceivable mystic power. Very good. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.